As I get started this morning, I want to kind of preface the scripture reading with a thought. Sometimes you have to understand, I've already been through one service and my thoughts, after I've already kind of said everything, I get jumbled and kind of don't know what order to say some of the things in. But what I want to preface this morning before I read the scripture is, church, I think we're in a day where we have to be challenged how we live. Church, it's real easy for us to fall into status quo and just do church. Just come, just be a part. You're going to hear some statements today, and I'm really going to teach more than preach at you. I'm just going to kind of lay it out and let the Spirit do what the Spirit does so much better than I ever could. And that's just work in your life. Church, I want to challenge us, though, to be more spiritually mature. I think the struggle with the challenge of the church today is that we don't live really what we believe. Let me illustrate with an old song. How many remember this? In my life, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified in my life. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. Now, did you wake up with that thought this morning? How many have ever sung that song before? Did it stick? At moments. But church, I think we have to be challenged because I believe we're in days, and I'm not trying to speak prophetically, I'm just speaking prophetically of the word, that we are in days where we're going to be challenged to live what we really believe. To really say, in my life, Lord. Wait a minute, did you even catch that? In me, Lordship. Now the Lordship is glorified. Today. Then I sing it tomorrow, then I sing it the next day. Church, I do not want to pamper you. And please understand, the greatest fear I have so many times, and I'm being honest with you, is I'd love to please every one of you. But it is my responsibility to tell you the truth of God's word. And I'm not sure everybody's going to be pleased by this message today. I think you could be pleased if Jesus is number one in your life. So are you ready? That's my preface. Here we go. Colossians chapter 2. Whew, thank God we got out of one. Now we're in the two. There's only three and four left. I'm going to capture seven verses today. Paul writes to the church. It says, I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ Himself. In Him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you. And I rejoice that you are living as you should and that your faith is strong in Christ. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Father, thank you for your word. Teach us, instruct us today, and may you be glorified in our lives. Amen. In our text from Colossians 2 this morning, we're going to kind of see Paul's description and what he desires for the church. In verse 1, Paul says, I agonize, and basically saying for the maturity of those believers. He was so focused on the goal of the church that he's constantly lifting these people up in prayer. Church, when I read this, I have to ask, do I agonize for this church? And as I told you several weeks ago, I am being challenged as a pastor to not be in the same place I am today 6 months from now. I want to be more in love, more service, more spiritually grounded than I've ever been. And then 6 months after that, I want to be at another level in the Lord. It's not about a level of being above or higher than. It's a level of being where God wants me to be. I want to be challenged that way. And church, when I read this, I'm like, Lord, I want to agonize for where our church is. And church, I have been challenged to help us grow and not just be status quo. Verse 2 gives us our very first thing to grow spiritually mature. You ready? Number 1. And I'm going to go through these really kind of fast. So you're just going to have to write them down or let the Holy Spirit or go back and listen to it again. So here we go. A spiritually mature church has a strong faith, even in difficult times. Paul tells us this in verse 2. I want them to be encouraged. One of the indications of a church that is mature in its faith is to remain encouraged even when difficult times come. Listen to the words of Habakkuk, or even the newer pronunciation, some of it is Habakkuk, so whichever you like, great. It was Hebrew, nobody knows how to say it anyway. In Habakkuk chapter 3, he writes these words, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there's no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk is determined to hang in there no matter what because his confidence is in the Lord. He knows God's character. He knows that God loves him. He knows that God is faithful. So no matter what the outward circumstances look like, he is encouraged. He encourages himself in the Lord. Yet I will rejoice. It's not about the outward circumstances. And that's the kind of faith that Paul wants the church to walk in. A group of people who walk by faith, not by a people who walk by faith. That's how we need to be, church. We need to encourage ourselves. Our faith is in the Lord. And who is over it all? God is. So everything's going to be okay. Encourage. Be encouraged. Number 2, a spiritual mature church is united in love. Verse 2 says, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. There's a great story, you probably have heard it before. It's about a Special Olympics. It happened in 1976. There was the boys that got set ready for the 100-yard dash, and all of a sudden they're waiting. The gun goes off, and the boys begin to run. And about halfway down the track, one of the boys stumbles and falls. The story is told that a couple of the other young fellows stopped and went over to help the young boy who fell. They got him up, they dusted him off, and when they found he was all right, they decided to finish the race together, and they crossed the finish line together. The boys that ran in that Special Olympics that day taught a great lesson. The boys cared more about their fallen friend than winning the race. The story is an incredible parable of what God wants from the church. We are to be in unity, church. We run together. We are united by love. We have these strong ties that keep us together. Our focus is in the race is not just the finish line, because the finish line is the Lord's. The finish line is the Lord's timing and His purpose of things. But I am more interested in running with my brothers and sisters. I need to help you. We got to pick each other, dust each other off every once in a while. And why don't we just run together? Why don't we finish together? We can do it if we're united by love. Number three, a spiritual mature church has wisdom and knowledge. Notice that Paul says our faithfulness and our love for each other, it grows. And in verse, the second half of 2 and 3, he says, I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is, it's not hidden, church, which is Christ Himself. In Him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In other words, the mature church, the mature believer is growing in their knowledge and their understanding of Christ. That's why once you kind of get walking in it, you find that grace is even bigger than you ever thought. But I find a lot of Christians aren't growing in their maturity because they go, I just don't know if His grace is enough today. His grace is sufficient. It's either true or not true. And so, church, we've got to grow in that. But let me share a caution that Paul warns Timothy with. In 2 Timothy, he says, the unbeliever, he's talking about the unbeliever, they're always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. See, we live in a world where information is readily available. We can learn as much as you want to learn. However, it's not enough to grow in information. We have to seek the truth and then acknowledge the truth and commit ourselves to the truth, for Jesus is the truth. And when we get to Him, then we begin to walk in the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge that's in Him. So, church, we need to grow. Number four, a spiritual and mature church is discerning in confusing times. In verse 4, he says, I'm telling you this so that no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. I want you to hear a few other warnings from Paul as he writes to us today. In 1 Timothy, he tells him, now, the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. Can you imagine? These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. In 2 Timothy, he writes to him again and says this, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. Church, we need to walk with a discerning heart. Let me be clear, I'm not talking about a critical spirit. I'm talking about a discernment that the Holy Spirit gives us. A discerning in these confusing days. Church, one of the most challenging things is for me to stand here and try to tell you I'm telling you the truth, because there's going to be a lot of false teachers that are going to tell you the same thing. And buddy, they have crafted it so well. But I'm telling you, you need to weigh it back always against Scripture. Church, if I could tell you anything to grow mature, is that whatever you hear from me, why don't you go home and study it all week? Go home, read it. You study it. You find it out. Don't rely on me, because you're going to be held accountable for what you know, not what I know. I'm sharing with you because, church, I want us to be challenged to grow and be more spiritual. So we've talked about faith, faithful in difficulty, united in love, growing in wisdom and knowledge, discerning in confusing times. Number five, are you ready? A spiritual mature church is disciplined in our discipleship. Paul writes in verse 5, for though I am far away from you, my heart is with you. And I rejoice that you are living as you should, and that your faith is in Christ is strong. Paul sees the Colossians, that they're living the way they should live. They've got this strong faith, and he recognizes that they are continuing in it and that they're disciplined in their discipleship. The best illustration I can give for this is exercise. And everybody say, amen. Yeah, exercise. If you want to be in the best physical condition, if you want to be firm and not flabby, what do you need to do? You have to discipline your life. That means regular exercise. That means eating right, practicing good habits. Now, church, I'll be honest with you. I'm not good at it. But I have found when I do exercise, I feel better. I enjoy life more. But when I start feeling better, guess what I do? I slack off. I'm feeling good. I don't need to exercise today. Do you see how similar that is, though, to our Christian walk? Many of us are very intense in our walk with God when we meet Him for a period of time. We're like, man, I sense God. I got up this morning. I just knew He was with me. And all of a sudden, though, we don't keep the same disciplines in place. And we begin to coast in our relationship with Him. And we coast on what we knew instead of what we're growing in. And our spiritual life begins to dry up. As mature believers, we have to attempt to keep the discipline there. We've got to keep that discipline, that exercise of spiritual disciplines in our life, so you can grow and be healthy. Number six, a spiritually mature church is consistent in our daily living. Probably verse 6, and it's among others, but it's probably one of the most challenging verses for a believer in Christ. Are you ready to hear it? Are you ready to be challenged? And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Catch the sequence of things. Paul begins with the idea that you start with a relationship with Christ. Paul says, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you cannot live a victorious, mature Christian life until you come to know Christ. There's a lot of people that come to church and they want all the victory. They want everything else in their life, but they're not in Christ. They think it's in the church. No, the church is the body. You got to get into the head. You become a part of the body when you're part of the head. You got to know Him first. And then Christ comes, He cleanses us when we ask Him to, and He infuses us now with life. Now that you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, the second part, He says you must follow Him, continue. It's a package deal, church. It isn't about coming to church and saying, Lord, forgive me, and not continuing in it. It's a package. I know Him, therefore I want to follow Him. I long to follow Him. Paul says when we receive Him, we should show Him in the way we live. This means we live by the example that He gave us. We live by the commandments He gave us. What it really means is you change. We change. Listen, I can't come to Christ and be like I was. I need to change. I personally, I'm in a continual changing mode. I hope I'm growing. In fact, I'll say it clearly, you may not like it, but the true test of genuineness of a person's confession of Jesus as Lord is reflected by the way they live. You say, well, that's judging. No, the Bible says you will know them by their fruits. I'm not judging anybody and declaring their end results. I just recognize it. Once you're grafted into the vine, you got life. And life begins to flow through the branch, and the branch produces fruit. It's leaves of healing and the fruit for health. Church, that's just what happens. But so many I just want to know Him for forgiveness. I want to know Him in life. I want to continue to walk in it. I'm not saying that we'll be perfect or ever be there, but we strive to reflect that life of Christ. We live for Him. We shouldn't say we follow Christ with our mouth and deny Him with the way we live. It's not enough to just know about Christ or a lot about Christ. I have to apply what I know to the way I live. You didn't like it. Number seven, a spiritual mature church is grateful in our heart. Listen to verse 7. Let your roots grow down into him. Got the imagery? Let your roots grow down into him. And let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. And you will overflow with thankfulness. As you mature in the faith, something happens in you, church. We become more grateful than we were at the beginning. There's a lot of people begin in Christ going, oh, it was so good. I feel like a weight's lifted. It's great. It's wonderful. But church, I'm telling you, I'm 46 years old. 38 years I've been walking in this faith. And I'm more happy and more grateful and more thankful today than I was at 8 years old. 8 year old was great. But today, it's even better. I'm more grateful. I'm more thankful. I've become rooted in him. I'm building on him. And now I'm growing stronger in the way I live for him. And now the real believer, the maturing believer, is not arrogant or snobbish about it, but they're humble. I'm humble. Why? Because I realize really how bad I really am. I thought at 8 years old I gave my life to Christ and it would just be perfect from there on out. And then God gave children. I never knew I had anger in me. I was a pretty easy-go-lucky guy and got married. Life is great. And these children come along and it's like, you know what I'm talking about. I'm like, Lord, where did this come from? It's that flesh nature in you. I'm like, Lord, beat it up. Just get rid of it. And it's an ongoing growing. It's something I have to continue in and live in and walk in. All right, here's the list. Church, be grateful. Really be grateful. Here's the list. My question is, does this sound like you or does this sound like our church? Are you ready? Faithfulness in difficult times. United in love. Growing in wisdom and knowledge. Discernment in confusing times. Disciplined in discipleship. Consistent in daily living. Overflowing with gratitude. This list is not concerned with how much you know, it's how well you are following. It's about your character, not your IQ. It's not about how others are looking at a believer. It's how God is looking at a believer. Church, I want us to grow spiritually. I want us to become mature. Maybe you're not growing because you're not born again. That is foundational to the growth. I don't know where you are, but Jesus died for every one of us. He died for our sins, everything we ever committed wrong, and he offers us a new beginning. That's why he calls it born again. It's a fresh start. But now I have to grow in this fresh start. I have to grow in this spirit life now because I'm born of the Spirit. I'm born of the flesh. We already got that. And a lot of us have, well, messed it up or done well, whoever you want to put it. But now the spirit life, I want to grow in. I'm born again by the Spirit, so I want to grow in the Spirit. But how do we do that? The Bible says you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you're saved. Let me put it in three simple, I say simple statements. They're kind of still long, but I think they're just to the point. If you really want to be saved, born again, begin that, you have to recognize first you blown it and you need forgiveness. Boom. In fact, I don't know how many blew it this past week or in the last month. We tend to blow it all the time. But the key is I'm growing. But I have to start and know that I'm in this new birth, or I will tend to decline and not keep the discipline, not keep the continuing. But you got to recognize you've bought it, and you need forgiveness. Secondly, you have to believe and acknowledge that Jesus died in your place for your sin. And listen to this part. And affirm that his resurrection proves he was who he said he was. Right? That's what the resurrection is about. It proved who he was. Everything he said he would do, he fulfilled his own prophecy. In 3 days, I'm going to raise this temple. They thought it was natural. He was talking about himself. And then, here's the third part. We must ask the Lord to apply his sacrifice to our account. And here's the important part. And allow him to be king and ruler in our life. See, so many times we want to confess and believe, but we forget about the lordship. See, if you want to grow spiritually mature, it's about lordship. It's a very simple way to live and to walk. Church, I challenge us because when I arrive in heaven, I'm going to be responsible for what I taught you. I'm going to stand before heaven's throne. That's why I'm telling you, you go check it out for yourself. That's why I read scripture with you. Church, I don't want to go to heaven and be found that I told you a lie. That would break my heart. The greatest thing for me would be to get to heaven and the Father to say, hey, just want to let you know, everybody who attended the church where you pastored them, they made it. It wouldn't be for my glory, it'd be for his. Church, why would I not want some of you to make it? Now, I'll tell you what, this section, I'm going to really grow you. You're important. We're going to really use you. This section, you're okay. Go on your missions trips. God bless you. I hope everything goes well. I don't really care about you guys because the way you stare at me every week. God help you. Balcony, you're so far away. I want to draw you close. Church, I want everybody to grow. I want you to grow. I want you to get spiritually mature. Because I'm telling you, church, there's a day coming you're going to be challenged. Next week I'm going to talk about that. Because church, I want my life to glorify him. I want your life to glorify him. I want you to find the joy of the Lord. I know there's a lot in here, it's the misery of life you find, but there is joy. There is peace. You say, where is it? It's in Christ. It's getting rooted in him. It's building on him. We'll close this morning. And we can sing this simple little chorus. And we're going to sing it two verses. The first verse has to be you personally. In my life, Lord. And then the second time we sing it, I want you to sing in your church. Because that's the uniting together. You're not just on your own. Sharon, you're not on your own. God has brought you into a church. So in your church, Lord, and if we fall and we stumble, let's pick each other up. Let's not beat each other. Let's dust each other off. Say, Lord, here we come. We're going to finish together. Because we're united by love.